Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite with Dick Vermeil. Dick, tell me, as you look at Tony Dungy, since you feel so familiar with his style as well, the cover two being his signature, that run defense has come through in a way that it did not for the entire season. Bob Sanders is being credited with that. What else are they doing on the run defense that was enabling them to shut down Jamal Lewis, Larry Johnson for, I think, 35 yards, Maroney and Corey Dillon with the Patriots?
Well, they played at home on artificial surface. If you check their numbers, they were much better at home against the run playing on artificial surface than they were on grass. They're also much better pass rushers on artificial surface. That's, I think, the problem they're going to have Sunday's ball game. They're playing on natural grass, and if it's good and firm, it won't hurt them as much, but if it's soggy, a little bit soft, it could hurt them a lot.
So Dwight Freeney, you're saying, may not be as effective if it's a wet surface.
If it's a natural, you know, being natural grass, he's not as effective. He is best on artificial surface. And he can bend and make that tight turn, Nick, and get low to the ground, and he maintains his footing with great acceleration. He's a problem in that. But on natural turf, you can't do it as well.
Dick, Cedric Benson was used early in that game two weeks ago. Thomas Jones came in the second quarter, was dominant, carried the ball almost every play on one drive. How good are they, and how likely are they to establish the running game that Chicago needs to take the pressure off of an embattled, if you will, Rex Grossman?
Well, I think they're a very fine running team. I think they're very good. And if the game is close enough where they can keep running and don't have to score a lot of points to win, they'll win the football game. But if they have to keep scoring to stay up with Indianapolis, then they won't win the game. You know, those two offensive tackles, Tate played for me for 3 years, as did the right tackle, Fred Miller. So I know they have two fine tackles. They have an all-pro center. I don't know much about the two guards, though. One is an old-timer, but it's a fine offensive line. So I think they can run against anybody if they want to. It's just how many times can you run, and it's all dependent upon how they stop Indianapolis.
Talking with Dick Vermeil, John Tate, a tremendous addition to the Chicago offensive line. Tell us more about that Chicago team, the psychology of the underdog. It seems like, whether it's the BCS game in Florida and how they destroyed Ohio State and other teams, that playing the role of the underdog can sometimes be a big help.
Oh, sure it can. But I think in the Super Bowl, I don't think it's as much a factor. You know, it's a one-game series, and there's no such thing as a team not being mentally prepared to play. You know, no one gains an advantage. No one's playing at home, you know, and there'll probably be more Chicago Bear fans because there are more people in Chicago, you know. But it's still a road game for both teams, and I just think more often than not, the team that makes the fewest mistakes, doesn't turn the ball over, you know, or the team that takes it away, forces the turnover, will win the football game.
But the players are going to follow the lead and the leadership and the serenity, the calm, the poise of their head coach. And Tony Dungy was that kind of leader at halftime when they're down 21-6 against the Patriots. What did that remind you of in your own career, Dick, in terms of that sort of moment of truth at halftime when you're down and you got to give your guys a sense of belief and confidence that they can come back?
Well, I think it's not so much the demeanor of the coach. It's what he says. A guy can be a fiery, tough, intense guy. Hey, Jimmy Johnson won 3 Super Bowls, right? You know, but he's a totally different personality. It's the credibility he has and what he says that makes a difference. Whether he's calm or excited or intense, yeah, I don't think that makes a bit of difference. It's what he says and how the players interpret what he says and how much they believe in what he says.
Well, if it is defense and it is turnovers, usually in these games, that determines the difference. Who would you rather have on your team, a Brian Urlacher or Dwight Freeney?
Well, in this game, I'd probably say Brian Urlacher. Probably say Brian Urlacher. But I'm not an authority
on about him, because there's something unique, though, about a guy like that who returned punts in college, was a wide receiver. Would you use him in this kind of game, the way the history of the Super Bowl has manifested from time to time, whether it was the Fridge or some of the other players who shifted and played some small, limited role because of the importance of the game? They threw out the worry about injuries and put them in?
I don't think so. I mean, in as you know, being around the game all your life, there's very few guys that can make an adjustment to playing a new position in competition, especially as intense as this game will be, just within those few days of preparation.
Well, Coach, let's go into some more specifics about that. What was different about the way you approached that first Super Bowl versus the second one? Tony is putting in, I think it's a 1 a.m. curfew during the week. That's not exactly stringent.
No, it's not. I don't know. See, the big difference was we had 2 weeks to prepare the first time around and only 1 week. We played our NFC Championship game against Tampa Bay, won the game, and we were on the airplane at 1 o'clock the next day flying to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And, before we had a week bye, which is a much better way, and it gives the coaches more time, the players time, and everything else. But that's how it was. And I think I was much more confident we were the better team going the second time. I know I put better football players on the plane throughout the roster. You know, we had the best offense in football and a very good defense. You know, the defense never gets very much credit, but they were the number six defense in football and number one against a run. So, they had done a good job. So I put a team on the plane with me that I knew was capable of winning if we just played our normal game.
And you had a Kurt Warner that was, by most standards, extremely inexperienced. Tell us about what Kurt brought to the game and whether you think a Rex Grossman, for all of the criticisms of him, can raise his game or continue to be one that does not make any of those killing mistakes.
Far more talent, far more important to be talented than experienced. You know, Kurt was not experienced in the NFL, but he was experienced playing football, a lot of football. And, you know, and he was the best quarterback in football and may go down as one of the top two or three quarterbacks that ever played a game when it's all said and done. His quarterback efficiency rating is right up there, you know. And I just think that, Grossman being inexperienced, I think if he just doesn't get him beat and doesn't turn the ball over interception-wise or throw the stupid ball or something like that, I don't think he'll be the I don't think he'll be the guy that wins the game, but he could be the guy that loses the game. He's the kind of quarterback right now in his career that you win along with. And sometimes you have to win in spite of him.
Coach, there are moments of truth during a season. One of those could arguably be when Lovie Smith was asked again and again when they clinched the title, you know, what's wrong with Rex Grossman? He said, we're 10-2. We won the division. Rex Grossman is our quarterback. He said that many times. How many coaches have that kind of strength of character to not let the media make their own decisions for them?
I think most of them do. I don't know one that doesn't, to be honest with you. You know, and Chicago's a big media, like New York's a big media. But I think they're all coaches have that. You know, and fans and people and management that think that the media determines who plays quarterback, I think they don't know enough about the game. They haven't been around enough, and they don't know their head coach. But I don't know anyone that's ever allowed that to happen.
Tight ends have been an important part of these games. They sometimes create an unexpected edge. You've got Dallas Clark and Desmond Clark both playing big roles for each of their teams. And our friend Mark Schlereth was saying Desmond Clark has an amazing ability to block second and third and fourth people downfield, creating space in the middle. In our last minute here, tell us about how important that is, Coach, in a game like this, or any game, for the tight end to create that space and those mismatches in the middle.
Well, you know, the design of the Indianapolis offense, you know, they're 90% of the time, at least, they're three wide receivers and one tight end, you know, and they have the field stretched horizontally from sideline to sideline, and that opens up and stretches the field inside for Clark, and he is not limited in kind of pass offense you utilize with him. He can go downfield, he can cross the field, he has good speed, he has great ability to catch the ball in the crowd, and then he's also a tenacious run blocker, as you said. I think if it comes down to how the tight ends are played and how utilized, then you have to say that Indianapolis Colts would have the advantage because this guy has done an amazing job.
Talking with Dick Vermeil. Dick, my prediction is 26-20 in our last 15 seconds. I think you're going with Indy, but tell us the score.
I'm not a predictor of a score. I really don't. You know, I think Indianapolis will beat them, yeah, because I think the game, both teams will play well enough that it could come down to some superstar making the difference. And if you're going to look for a superstar to make the difference, it's usually easier for the running back to do it the quarterback to do it than it is a running back or a wide receiver. And you'd have to say that Indianapolis quarterback is capable of being a superstar game day.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate it. Please give my best to your wife and family, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Dick Vermeil, one of the greats. When we come back, Jared Bell from USA Today and Seth Joyner on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.